Hello and welcome to the ABCs of Rock podcast. I am your host, Nathan Schuer. The ABCs of Rock is proudly part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. I thank you for joining me on my journey through the alphabet from A to Z, where each week I pick a new band or musician going in alphabetical order with no exception. It's not only been a blast, it's also been an education, and I'm having the time of my life. Before I begin, I must say a couple very important words about this podcast. I do not own the rights to any of the music played on this show. The musicians or the music labels own the copyright. I play this music under the doctrine of fair use. I am not here as a DJ, but to offer music commentary and criticism. My goal is for you to gain a larger appreciation for the bands or the musicians played here on this podcast, and I ask for you to go out and legally purchase or stream their music. The musicians need your support, and I hope this show contributes to spreading the good word about the bands you hear on these episodes. I do not profit in any way from this podcast. It is truly done out of my pure love of the music. So hey everyone, it's great to be back behind the microphone today, and on this episode, I will admit, I have been looking forward to it for a really long time. And speaking of a long time, it feels like it's been an eternity since my favorite co-host has joined me for a show. Welcome back to the podcast, Chloe.
Hi, I'm so happy to be back. It has been, in real life, it has been like only like 2 months or something that we've done this pod, that since I was on the last episode. And it really feels like it has been 5 months.
It's been quite a while, and I feel bad that you haven't been on here. How are things going?
It's good.
Yeah. Now, you, I would say, since you've last been on, I think the last show we did actually was the Talking Heads.
Yeah, I think so.
Which, you know, it's going to be kind of funny. There's actually going to be kind of a Talking Heads tie-in to today's episodes.
What does tie-in mean?
There's going to be a reason why the Talking Heads are going to come up on this episode. So you'll have to wait and see. But you know what? I want to start asking you, and so you can share with the listeners, what have you been listening to these days for music?
I think Dad probably knows. I think you probably know already.
Yeah, but, you know, this is a music podcast. You know, I always share my opinions on music. Maybe our young listeners out there want to know from our resident 9-year-old what she's been listening to.
Well, I've been listening to a lot of Zombies.
Oh, the Zombies, the 1960s rock group. I love She's Not There and Tell Her No. Great rock band from the 60s. Is that what you're talking about?
No!
No. Oh, so want to elaborate?
It's the movie Zombies soundtrack.
Okay. Yes, I have. I've been inundated listening to the Zombies. Not the band that I was familiar with. Well, I mean, I didn't grow up listening to the Zombies, but actually I did, because I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I grew up in a household where I listened to the Oldies channel all the time, and I definitely, the music of the Zombies was something I heard all the time. But this is the Zombies movie soundtrack. And in the movie itself, you've watched quite a few times. And there's two movies, actually.
Give a like on this episode if you like the movie Zombies 1 and Zombies 2.
I would love to know if the listeners out there, especially for this show, this episode, also listen to or have seen the movie Zombies. Is it Disney that
produced? Yeah, Zombies.
Yeah. So anyways,
perfect life.
So we have
on the darkest side. Ooh, I got a feeling. If you get to know me, right from the start you caught my eye, and something inside me came to life. Ooh, I got a feeling. If you get to know me, someday. This could be ordinary. Someday we could be something extraordinary. Okay.
All right. So maybe we don't need to continue with the podcast. We'll just feature you for your singing talents, right? I think people may have come here for a different musician But you know what? Maybe when we get to the letter S for our last name, we'll feature Chloe as a as the talent someday.
Yeah. Like five seasons.
five seasons worth of your singing talent. Wow. Let's get back to the show. So, Chloe, I'm really glad you're joining me for this particular episode.
Thank you.
Because I have a suspicion you're going to have a lot of fun with today's musician.
Yeah,
so
I am.
I'm
totally not going to fall asleep on this couch that I'm sitting on.
I hope not. Yeah, we kind of positioned Chloe on the couch in the studio. And hopefully she stays awake for this. I think she will. So we're down to the letter Y. By the way, almost done with the alphabet. It's been quite a journey. And there have been a couple messages I've received regarding what my plans are once I finish the alphabet. So now is as good a time as any to make this announcement. So there are a few more episodes left. I've got the emptying the vaults for both the letter Y and Z. And of course, the proper letter Z episode, which I'm very excited for as well. But after that, I'm going to do a two-part season one wrap-up where I'll be going through all of the artists that I covered from A to Z and playing some more deep cuts in rapid-fire succession. And Chloe, you'll be joining me for that two-part episode, which is really cool.
Yeah, so if I didn't go into the band, I'll hear at least one...
You'll hear at least one song.
Yeah, one song, that's what I was saying. Oh, yeah, I forgot that word. One song from... Yeah. Every podcast, even if I wasn't on.
Right.
That.
So you're looking forward to it?
Yes.
Yeah. So the first episode, of course, will be the letters A through M, and part two will be covering the letters N through Z. I think this is going to be a lot of fun, and there's definitely going to be a wide variety of music on these shows. So let's get to today's music. You ready, Chloe?
Yep.
Yep. And I'm so excited for this. So representing the letter Y today will be none other than one of the greatest music geniuses of all time. And I don't mean that as a joke. The one and only Weird Al Yankovic. Do you know anything about Weird Al?
I know that it's a band. Well, it's not really a band. It's a person.
Yeah.
Or something. I know this. It has songs in it.
He does sing music. That's correct. Well, anyways, so Weird Al Yankovic, the fact that he is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a travesty. That's the first thing I want to say about him. He is truly a musical genius. And I am not just recognizing his brilliance and talents doing music parodies. I actually think his strengths are even greater when he creates music that isn't a spot-on parody of a particular song. But his ability to create original compositions that embody the sound and likeness of an original artist, it's uncanny how he does it. Weird Al has a special place in my heart because seeing him was the first concert I ever went to.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was at a venue that doesn't exist anymore, the Warwick Musical Theater. In Warwick, Rhode Island,
were you like 10 years old?
I was exactly 10. My parents took me to see him back in 1985. Must have been while he was touring with the Dare to Be Stupid album.
Is he still alive?
Oh yeah, he's 61 years old, I think now. Because it was the Dare to Be Stupid album. Because I remember Like a Surgeon and I Want a New Duck were popular at the moment. I remember his last song, of course, was Yoda. Of course, I was a Star Wars fan, but I had no idea at the time what song he was referencing. I had no context at that age of the song Lola by the Kinks, of course. So anyways, first concert of my life. Well, that's pretty cool.
Is there any new, albums that was from, recently?
His last album actually is from 2014. He hasn't put one out in now 6 years.
Well, make it seven. But
seven
I guess
years.
So.
Well, it just became 2021. But yeah, it's been quite some time. And I actually don't know the reason for that. I actually would like to find out what he's got cooking. There might be something new. But it's the longest break he's ever had putting out studio albums. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to skip a lot of the history and bio of Weird Al's life. I mean, all that stuff you can find on the internet if you're interested. Here, I'm just about the music, and I want to play some really fun songs. And I think this episode, because we got Chloe here, we're just going to have some fun tonight. I'm not going to get into some deep analysis of the music, which I kind of do with other episodes. We're just going to play some music, have some fun, and I'm going to focus a lot on songs that are non-parodies, some of the original songs that he does, because those are the ones that tend to get overlooked. There's a lot of the ones that do get the occasional radio play that end up maybe get it on satellite radio. I guess on the Comedy Channel on satellite radio is where you can find his music now. They're never on any of the music channels. It's his original songs, which I really think are his strengths. I mean, yes, he is a genius at writing parodies, but I want to focus on the original songs, which is what we're going to do today. And I think they're really a lot of fun. So we're going to get to those. Anyways, so let's just do it. We're going to start in the very beginning, and we're only going to, what I will say though, this is important to note, because he does have a very deep catalog of music. We are just going to pretty much focus on the first half of his career. So we're going to start with his self-titled debut, Weird Al Yankovic, from 1983, and we're going to take it through 1993 Alapalooza album, which is about halfway through his career, which I think is like 7 albums or so. There's just too much stuff that I want to play. So maybe when we come around to the letter Y again, we'll do the second half of his career. We can save something for the season 2, perhaps. So here we go, Chloe. You ready? All right. I thought you fell asleep on me already. His first album, self-titled debut album was Weird Al Yankovic, self-titled album, came out on April 26, 1983. It was produced by Rick Derringer, who actually produced all of his albums for all of the 80s, I think up through UHF. Now, Rick Derringer was a guitarist and songwriter and the founding member of the band The McCoys. Now, you might remember The McCoys. They're known for their song Hang On Sloopy, which was from the mid-60s, a pretty well-known song. He would produce all of their albums through UHF. This is a really great but forgotten debut. Some of his best parodies are Ricky, I Love Rocky Road, another one, Rides the Bus, My Baloney, and Stop Dragging My Car Around. Every song on this uses the accordion, which is something he would abandon going forward. But this album does this. So, and one other thing of note that is different about this is that there are no polka medleys. That's something that he would have on every album going forward. You would have a polka medley. So the song I'm picking is Happy Birthday. And according to Wikipedia, it's done in the style of Tony O'Kay, which I never would have even known if I didn't look it up. Tony O'Kay was a new wave artist from the late 70s, early 80s. And if you're interested in getting into Tony O'Kay, I would recommend his first two albums, Life in the Food Chain from 1978 and America from 1980. So take a look at those. They're not so bad. This is a classic, sarcastic, tongue-in-cheek song about the world ending. But, you know, look on the bright side. It's your birthday. You got to love it. Chloe, you ready to, we got to mention this. If you're a first time listener, I always quote my favorite lyrics from every song. And I usually do this in a really terrible deadpan manner, but it's always a bonus when Chloe, you're here to join me with me and we do this together. You ready, Chloe?
Yep.
All right. So here we go. I guess you know the earth is gonna crash into the sun, but that's no reason why we shouldn't have a little fun. So you think it's scary if it's more fun,
if it's more than you can take.
Just blow out the candles and have a piece of cake. You know what, Chloe? Maybe I'll just have you do the lyrics.
Yay!
You're so much better than me. All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. year. We'll eat a lot of broccoli and drink a lot of beer. You should be good and happy that there's someone you can eat. A million people every day are starving in the street. Your daddy's in the gutter with the wretched and the poor. Your mama's in the kitchen with a can of Cycle 4. There's garbage in the water and poison in the sky. I guess it won't be long before we're all gonna die. Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Well, what's the matter, little friend? You think this party is the piss? Enjoy it while you can, we'll soon be blown to bits. The monkeys in the Pentagon are gonna cook our goose. The fingers on the button, all they need is an excuse. It's also take a bit of their genius to see. We'll all be crispy critters after World War III. There's nowhere you can run to, nowhere you can hide. When they drop the big one, we all get fried.
Come on, boys and girls, sing along, okay?
Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Wow!
Buying everything inside. There's a mother in the ghetto with another mouth to feed. Seems that everywhere you look today there's misery and greed. I guess you know the earth is gonna crash into the sun, but that's no reason why we shouldn't have a little fun. So if you think it's scary, if it's more than you can take, just blow out the candles and have a piece of cake.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Wow! All right, Chloe, that was Happy Birthday. What did you think?
I thought that it was weird.
Well, we are listening to Weird Al Yankovic.
But I gave it a 7.
A 7, all right. That's one of my favorite originals from early on in his career. I hope everyone else liked it. We are going to move on and... The next album was his big commercial breakthrough. It is In 3D. Actually, it was officially called Weird Al Yankovic In 3D, and it came out on February 28th, 1984. This one hit the U.S. Billboard 200, and it reached up to number 17. It was his first platinum album.
Wow.
There were three singles, all parodies, that came off this. They were all great. Of course, he got Eat It. King of Suede, and one of my favorites also from his, I Lost on Jeopardy, of course, from parodying the Greg Kinn band. Eat It actually went to number one in Australia. Aussies knew what was going on. Honorable mentions from this, Nature Trail to Hell. I actually easily could have played that for this because it's an original song that's hysterical. Consider that, but it's about a 6-minute long song, and I wish it was about half the length. Otherwise,
wow.
it would have been one of his greatest original songs of all time.
Wow.
But the song I'm going to go with is Midnight Star. No particular artist he's copying here, but it's just a really funny song poking fun at tabloid headlines. Again, a perfect showcase for his absurdist humor. Not much more to say about it than that. Let's do the second verse. Chloe, why don't you take the honors and do the second verse?
Okay. Eat jelly donuts and lose 20 pounds a day. Hear the story of the man born without a head and top physique.
That's psychics.
Psychics all agree that the telephone company will have a brand new service that lets you talk to the dead. Weird.
Checkout counter at the local grocery store. I telephone company will have a brand new service that lets you talk to the dead.
That was Midnight Star. Chloe, what'd you think?
I thought it was good, but I think since it's called Midnight Star, I think it should be, like, it tells a story. But I think the story should be about the night because it's Midnight Star.
Very misleading, the title of the song. I understand.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
But I gave it a... Also, I gave it a 7.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on. The third release from Weird Al was Dare to Be Stupid, which was released on June 18th, 1985. Now, this was considered to be a flop compared to In 3D, but it still did reach number 50 on the U.S. Billboard 200 and eventually did go platinum. But it didn't yield any hits as big as Eat It. But I do really love a couple of the singles from this one, especially Like a Surgeon and I Want a New Duck. Plus, I Want a New Duck.
He wants a new duck.
It's a parody of the song I Want a New Drug from the band Huey Lewis and the News.
Which,
Chloe, you did that show with me, Huey Lewis and the News, if you remember.
Did we do that song?
We didn't do the song because we don't do hits and singles on this show.
I didn't know that it was a hit or single. I'm sorry.
Plus, I never really liked the title track, Dare to Be Stupid. I always thought it was the most annoying song he ever wrote. Several really solid original compositions on here, though, I want to mention before I get to the song I'm playing. Cable TV is really great, and so is Slime Creatures from Outer Space.
What?
The later being done...
gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah, the later being done in the likeness of Thomas Dolby's song Hyperactive. If anyone out there remembers that song, it's a pretty obscure one, I know. The song, though, we're going to do is One More Minute, and it's a stunt in the style of Elvis Presley. I love Elvis, and I wouldn't say Al is singing necessarily in the style of Elvis, but more or less doing his best cartoonish version of him, or some 50s crooner. I just love the fact that he goes for it here, and the songwriting is hysterical. Chloe, let's get to the lyrics for this one. Why don't you take it? Because you're better at it than me.
Okay. Rather have my blood sucked out by leeches. Shove an ice pick under a toenail or two. I'd rather clean all the bathrooms in Grand Central Station with my tongue than spend one more minute with you. I would never do that.
Well, I heard that you're leaving. Gonna leave me far behind.
So far behind.
Cause you found a brand new lover. You decided that I'm not your kind. So I pulled your name out of my Rolodex. And I tore all your pictures in two. And I burned down the malt shop where we used to go. Just because it reminds me of you. That's right.
That's right.
You ain't gonna see me crying.
I'm glad
that you found somebody new. Cause I'd rather spend eternity eating shards of broken glass than spend one more minute with you. I guess I might seem kind of bitter. You got me feeling down in the dumps. Cause I'm stranded all alone in the gas station of love, and I have to use the self-service pumps. Oh, so honey, let me help you with that suitcase.
You ain't
gonna break my heart in two. Cause I'd rather get 100,000 paper cuts on my face than spend one more minute with you. I'd rather rip out my intestines with a fork than watch you going out with other men.
I'd rather slam my fingers in a door again and again and again and again and again.
Oh, can't you see what I'm trying to say, darling? I'd rather have my blood sucked out by leeches. Shove an ice pick under a toenail or two. I'd rather clean all the bathrooms in Grand Central Station with my tongue than spend one more minute with you. Yes, I'd rather jump naked on a huge pile of thumbtacks. Stick my nostrils together with crazy glue. I'd rather dive into a swimming pool filled with double-edged razor blades than spend one more minute with you.
I'd rather rip my heart right out of my ribcage with my bare hands and then throw it on the floor and stomp on it till I die.
Then spend one more minute with you.
One more minute. Chloe, did you love One More Minute?
It was and sad and rude.
And rude?
In the beginning, it was just so lovely. And then when he started saying up things that he would do to spend 1 minute with you, I just broke my heart. But I still liked it, so I gave it an 8.
8. All right. Fantastic. All right. So let's move on. So the his fourth studio release was titled Polka Party. And it was released on October 21st, 1986. Now, if Dare to Be Stupid was kind of a disappointment, this one was an epic commercial and critical failure. After this album, Al actually thought his career had peaked and he would fade into obscurity. The singles off this album were not strong. There could be a couple reasons for this. Number one, he probably did choose the wrong songs to parody. Number two, at the time, pop music in the mid-80s was so cheesy, and it was nearing parody status all on its own already. It didn't need Al to do it for them. It didn't need Al. I mean, the songs he was parodying, like Living in America from James Brown, are so ridiculous already. Who's Johnny by El DeBarge? He does a parody of Ruthless People by Mick Jagger. I actually had to look that one up. But it's not all bad. There are some really good album highlights. Don't really like the song Don't Wear Those Shoes, but the lyrics are great. And of course, the album closer, Christmas at Ground Zero, I nearly selected for this show. But on Polka Party is one of his greatest artist parodies he's ever done. It was several months ago that, Chloe, you joined me for our episode on the Talking Heads. And I think you had a really good time in that show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the songs on here is called Dog Eat Dog. And it's done in the style of the Talking Heads. And I will go as far to say that it is his greatest artist parody he's ever done. It actually is one of the best Talking Heads songs that the Talking Heads never recorded. So if you remember that show, Chloe, you tell me if you think that this could have been the Talking Heads that made the song. I think it's an unbelievable song, and it's largely overlooked by when people think of Weird Al songs. So I think this is a wonderful one. This is Dog Eat Dog. Let's get to the lyrics. You want to do it, Chloe?
Yeah.
All right, go for it.
Sometimes I can't believe that this is all really happening. Sometimes I can't believe that I'm really sitting here. Sometimes I tell myself this is not my wonderful stapler.
This beautiful stapler.
Beautiful. Sometimes I tell myself this is not my beautiful chair.
Great.
My name right on it, in big bold letters, so everyone knows it's mine. Don't even touch it, cause it doesn't belong to you. I'm watching you, so don't be funny. I'm climbing up off the corporate ladder. Watch out, it's dog eat dog. Nose against the grindstone, it feels alright. Watch out, this dog eat dog. Here we go. Sweetener. Hold on a minute. Just one more jelly donut. They'll never miss it. No, they'll never miss it. I'm climbing up off the corporate ladder. Watch out, this I tell myself, this is not my beautiful stapler. Sometimes I tell myself, this is not my beautiful chair. The shape of small animals. Maybe I could get on David Letterman. I think I made a big mistake. Where's my liquid paper? Where's my liquid paper? I'm climbing out way up the corporate ladder now. Watch out for this dog eat dog. Nuzzle against the grindstone, it feels alright. Better be careful now, it's dog eat dog. Watch me work.
So that was Dog Eat Dog, one of my really all-time favorite songs, like just well-produced songs by Weird Al, despite it being, you know, an artist-style parody. I just think it's just an amazing song. Chloe, what did you think?
I thought it was good. I gave it a 7, but hold on, I need a minute because I just decided that I'm gonna try to watch the weirdest song. So on Happy Birthday, I gave that it was 9. That I gave it a 9 for weirdness. On Midnight Star, I gave it a 10. On One More Minute, I gave it a 6. And on Dog Eat Dog Now, I gave it a 10.
And what about Happy Birthday?
I gave it a 9.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on. Up next was his 5th studio album titled Even Worse, which was released on April 12th, 1988. Now, this was kind of a comeback album, and it was anchored by the spiritual sequel to Eat It with his second Michael Jackson parody, this one being Fat, parodying his song Bad. Now, this reached the U.S. Billboard 200 chart at number 27, and it was a second platinum album. Now, despite the praise and notoriety that this album, it's actually one of my least favorites. So, Fat was a classic parody, but beyond that, I don't personally latch on to much on this one. The only other parody that I think is really great is the song, this song is just 6 words long, which is a wonderful jab at George Harrison's song, I Got My Mind Set on You. This is a great opportunity to also highlight a really cool song that most people don't really think of on this album. It's an original that isn't done in any particular style, and it's just a sweet love song titled Melanie. All Al wants to do is just know why Melanie won't go out with him. I'll leave it at that. This is from the 3rd verse. Chloe, you want to do the lyrics?
You weren't impressed when I tattooed your name across my forehead. You wouldn't listen when I promised to be true. I couldn't stand it, so I jumped out from the 16-story window right above you. Now I may be dead, but I still love you. Oh my God.
Melanie, what can the problem be? Sweet Melanie, why won't you go out with me? She lives.
All right. Well, that was Melanie. Chloe, tell me what you thought of Melanie.
I thought it was very good. When I was listening to it, I could kind of feel his emotions. He wanted Melanie to go out with him. And in the end, he died, which I thought was stupid for him to go out of the window. But I gave it a 8, and for weirdness, I gave it a 7. It wasn't that weird, but it was definitely the 7. The 7 was for him to jump out the window.
Okay. All right. So we're halfway through, I think. So before we move on, I just want to take a brief moment and remind everyone and thank everyone for tuning into the show and say how much I appreciate each and every one of you for being a loyal listener and subscriber to the podcast. There is nearly an episode representing every letter of the alphabet, practically something for everyone, no matter what your taste in rock and roll is. So head on over to the archives, and I'm sure you'll find at least a couple episodes you'll love. Also, if you've been listening to these episodes, I love to hear from you. There's an email that I check frequently, abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can find me on social media on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast and on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. The show is available on dozens of podcast apps, so please, if you love the show, subscribe and give it a rating and review, whatever app you prefer. It doesn't matter. These ratings and reviews actually play a large role with the algorithms that help raise the profile of the show and make it more discoverable for larger audiences to find. I thank you all in advance. All right, we're going to move on to the next album. The next one was UHF, or I guess the full title will be The Original Motion Picture Soundtrack and Other Stuff. And it came out on July 18th, 1989. This was the last album produced by Rick Derringer. Now, this was released in conjunction with the motion picture of the same name. There was a movie that he put out about him work as an employee of a public access cable channel. Now, this is kind of funny because I work in public access. So I really should watch it again because I'm sure I haven't seen it probably in about 15 years. I get a lot more out of it now. So anyways, it was a commercial bomb, but I remember parts of it were pretty funny. Well, even though I wasn't the hugest fan of his last album, Even Worse, and the rest of the world thought very highly of it, and Weird Al was back. So in 1989, he writes and stars in this movie, which nowadays has reached legitimate cult status. So, definitely go check it out. It's a fun ride. But as far as the soundtrack side of things, it's again hit and miss. It's got a spot-on parody of Money for Nothing, and it's about the Beverly Hillbillies. And it has Mark Knopfler and Guy Fletcher from Dire Straits actually contributing to the guitar and synthesizer on that song. It's actually kind of cool because it's a real sign of respect that the artist he's parodying wanted to contribute to the track. Overall, the album is kind of ho-hum for me, outside of just a couple of bright spots. But I'm going to play a couple of them here. The first is the song Generic Blues, which is a parody of generic electric blues songs. Now, there's nothing really, I guess, special about this song. I just think it's a really well-crafted blues song, which he just really did a fantastic job at. I like this because, once again, he's not trying to force himself to parody any particular song or any particular artist. And I think, when he's doing these types of songs, it's very, it's underappreciated. This is absolutely one of the best straightforward genre parodies. In the liner notes of the album, Weird Al states he was just trying to write the ultimate blues song. And get this, B.B. King mentioned to him that it was one of his top 10 all-time favorite blues songs. Wow, that is some high praise. All right, so I got a great excerpt from the lyrics for us, Chloe. You want to do this one together? I'm just a no-good, scum-sucking, nose-picking, boot-licking, sniveling, groveling, worthless hunk of slime.
Yeah.
Nothing but a low-down, beer-bellied, bone-headed, pigeon-toed, turkey-necked, weasel-faced, worthless hunk of slime.
Wow.
That's great.
I wish I had that slime.
Shirt and go bowling instead. Yeah. There's just one place to go for all your spatula needs.
Spatula City! Spatula City!
A giant warehouse of spatulas for every occasion. Thousands to choose from in every shape, size, and color. And because we eliminate the middleman, we can sell all our spatulas factory direct to you. Where do you go when you want to buy name brand spatulas at a fraction of retail cost?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
And this weekend only, take advantage of our special liquidation sale. Buy 9 spatulas, get the 10th one for just 1 penny. Don't forget, they make great Christmas presents. And what better way to say I love you than with the gift of a spatula?
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
Hello, this is Cy Greenbloom, president of Spatula City. I like their spatula so much, I bought the company.
Spatula City, 7 locations. We're in the yellow pages under spatulas.
My, where did you get that lovely spatula?
Spatula City, we sell spatulas, and that's all.
Of course, I had to lead right into Spatula City, which comes right after Generic Blues. It is just one of the really great skits from the movie.
And that's what I'm laughing about.
Chloe, what did you think of Generic Blues?
I gave Generic Blues a 7, and Pawilla gave it a 10. And I didn't rate it, but I'm just going to say it. For Spatula City, I gave it a 10. And for Weird, I gave it a 10.
Spatula City is the leading candidate for song of the episode. All right.
Which has not been a part of the episode, but yeah, I'm just going to rate it.
All right. We're going to stick with the UHF album for one more song, and it actually has one of my all-time favorite songs. I think you're going to love this one. The song is The Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota, and it's one of the longest songs from his career. It's nearly 7 minutes long, but it's so great. Now, I think you're going to love this. This is done in a different style. That Weird Al would experiment with more frequently later on in his career, where he's basically telling this long-form story. Of course, his magnum opus would be later on in his career with the great song Albuquerque, but the seeds were planted here with this one. It's great. I don't even know where to begin with quoting the lyrics, so we're just going to grab it these right here. So, Chloe, why don't you do the honors?
Yes, on these hallowed.
Hallowed.
Hallowed grounds, open 10 to 8 on weekends, in a little shine under a makeshift
pagoda.
Pagoda. There sits the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota.
Weird!
Well, I had 2 weeks of vacation time coming after working all year down at Big Roy's Heating and Plumbing. So one night when my family and I were gathered round the dinner table, I said, kids, if you could go anywhere in this great big world now, where'd you like to go to? They said, Dad, we want to see the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. They picked the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. The very next day we loaded up the car with potato skins and pickled wieners, crossword puzzles, Spider-Man comics, and Mama's homemade rhubarb pie. Pulled out of the driveway and the neighbors, they all waved goodbye. And so began our 3-day journey. We picked up a guy holding a sign that said Twine Ball or Bust. He smelled real bad and he said his name was Bernie. Put in a Slim Whitman tape, my wife put on a brand new hairnet. Kids were in the backseat, jumping up and down, yelling, are we there yet? And all of us were joined together in one common thought as we rolled down the long and winding interstate and off 53 to Soda. We're going to see the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. We're heading for the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. Wait to get there, so we drove straight through for 3 whole days and nights. Of course, we stopped for more pickled wieners now and then. The scenery was just so pretty. Boy, I wish the kids could have seen it, but you can't see out of the side of the car because the windows are completely covered with the decals from all the places where we've already been. Like Elvis Orama, the Tupperware Museum, the Boll Weevil Monument in Cranberry World, the Shuffleboard Hall of Fame, Poodle Dog Rock, and the Mecca of Albino Squirrels. We've been to Ghost Town Steam Parks, Wax Museums, and the place where you can drive through the middle of a tree scene, alligator farms and tarantula ranches, but there's still one thing we gotta see. Well, we crossed the state line about 6:39, and we saw the sign that said Twine Ball Exit 50 miles. Oh, the kids were so happy, they started singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall for the 27th time that day. So we pulled off the road at the Last Chance gas station, got a few more pickled wieners and a diet chocolate soda, on our way to see the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. We're gonna see the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. Finally, at 7:37 early Wednesday evening, as the sun was setting in the Minnesota sky, out in the distance on the horizon, it appeared to me like a vision before my unbelieving eyes. We parked the car and walked with awe-filled reverence toward that glorious, huge, majestic sphere. I was just so overwhelmed by its sheer immensity, had to pop myself a beer. Yes, on these hallowed grounds, open 10 to 8 on weekdays, in a little shrine under a makeshift pagoda, there sits the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. I tell you, it's the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. Beside it, and I warned the kids, now you better not touch it, those ropes are there for a reason. I said, maybe if you're good, I'll tie it to the back of our car and we can take it home, but I was only teasing. Then we went to the gift shop and stood in line, bought a souvenir miniature ball of twine, some window decals, and anything else they'd sell us. And I bought a couple postcards, greetings from the twine ball, wish you were here, won't the folks back home be jealous. Gave her camera to Bernie and we stood by the ball and we all gathered round and said cheese. Then Bernie ran away with my brand new Instamatic, but at least we got our memories. So we all just stared at the ball for a while and my eyes got moist, but I said with a smile, kids, this here's what America's all about. Then I started feeling kind of gooey inside and I fell on my knees and I cried and cried, and that's when those security guards threw us out. You know, I bet if we unraveled that sucker, it'd roll all the way down to Fargo, North Dakota. Cause it's the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. I'm talking about the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. Well, we stayed that night at the Twine Ball Inn. In the morning, we were on our way home again. But we didn't really want to leave, that was perfectly clear. I said, folks, I can tell you're all sad to go. Then I winked my eye and I said, you know, I got a funny kind of feeling we'll be coming back again next year. Cause I've been all around this great big world and I can't think of anywhere else I'd rather go to than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. I said the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. 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 Minnesota.
All right. I'm going to pretty much guarantee that song is going to be stuck in your head all night long, if not all weekend long, Chloe, the right?
The biggest ball of time in Minnesota.
That is an earworm, that song, huh?
So I liked it a lot. It was weird. But I gave it an 8, and for weird, I gave it a 6.
Okay.
Because it wasn't extremely weird. It wasn't extremely weird like the last one, like the 2 songs ago. No, like Ganelle, like Blue something. It wasn't as weird as that, but I gave it a 6. And, yeah.
Okay. Well, we are going to move on to his next album, which is called Off the Deep End, which came out on April 14th, 1992. Now, this is the first one that was self-produced by Weird Al Yankovic, and Rick Derringer in Weird Al had a falling out. Rick thought that Al wasn't really taking direction from him anymore, and Al felt he could produce these records on his own. And the result is actually what I think is one of his best albums of this era. I think the success can also be attributed to the changing music scene. Not only did he get to parody the likes of grunge acts like Nirvana, rap and hip-hop artists like MC Hammer and Gerardo, and pop artists like Milli Vanilli and New Kids on the Block, one of the most unlikely singles of Yankovic's career came out of this album. You Don't Love Me Anymore, not a parody, but an original song. It's very unusual that a song like that actually became a single. But if you remember the music video for Extreme's More Than Words, how could you forget it? It was everywhere, and it never needs to be seen again. But You Don't Love Me Anymore brilliantly mocks that music video. So, go check that out. It's really funny. So the song I'm going to select off of this album is When I Was Your Age. It's an original song, and it's going back to tried and true formula with this one. It's got great songwriting, so I think everyone's going to like it. Let's do the lyrics from this one, Chloe. How about you take this one?
Okay.
You'll like this.
It is When I Was Your Age.
Yes.
Your lazy brats think nothing's good enough. Well, nobody ever drove me to school when it was 90 degrees below. We had to walk butt naked through 40 miles of snow. Worked in the coal mine 22 hours a day. Who does have a cent? Had to sell my internal organs just to pay the rent.
Let me tell you, Sonny,
So that was When I Was Your Age. Chloe, what'd you think of that one?
I thought it was very, I was going to say random and good. I gave it a 7, and for weirdness, I gave it a 7.
Okay. All right, so we got a couple songs left here, and we're moving on to the last album we're going to be covering for this episode, Alapalooza, which was released on October 5th, 1993. And this one also was certified gold. It reached the U.S. Billboard 200, number 46. For me, Alapalooza was another slight step backwards. The singles were mostly misses for me. Between Jurassic Park, which was a parody of the 1968 song MacArthur Park, sung by Richard Harris. Someone explain to me how that slipped through as a lead single. I don't get it. The rest of the album, the rest of the songs in the album are mostly underwhelming outside of a few highlights. I do like this one here, which I'm going to play. It's called Traffic Jam, and it's done in the style of Prince. Now, what's kind of cool about this, though, is that for years, Weird Al had approached Prince to get permission to parody his songs, and Prince had always turned him down. So what he does is the next closest thing. He does a style parody, and he really nails it. I suppose it's, you know, it's a relatively close relative of his song Let's Go Crazy. So you'll hear a little kind of elements of that song, but for the most part, it's an original song done in that style. So it's but it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So let's get to that. Chloe, you want to do the lyrics? You want to do it together?
There's a yuppie on a cellular phone. I'm going to puke if I hear any more. There's a motorcycle zooming by me. Watch what happens when I open my door.
Choke. No AC and the radio's broke. Car's backed up.
that's a fun song. I enjoy that one. Chloe, did you like it?
Yeah, I think it was really good. I gave it a 7. And for weirdness, I gave it a 6. Because it wasn't that weird.
Wasn't that weird. All right. All right, so.
I think the name of the album is weirder than the song.
Alapalooza?
Alapalooza!
You have no idea what that's referencing, actually, do you?
No, I don't. What is that referencing?
It's referencing a music festival called Lollapalooza, which was started off around that time in the early 90s. That's another whole conversation.
Okay.
Anyways.
You can have that conversation at 11 o'clock tonight, Dad.
Yeah, it's getting pretty late, so let's wrap this up. We got one more song. So... Yeah. So,
no.
The final.
No. Not yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, at the very end of this album, there is another style of song that Weird Al is famous for that I haven't even mentioned yet on this show. And that is because I wanted to save it for the end. On nearly every one of his albums, he includes a polka medley. Actually, I did mention this early on, but we haven't played any of them here. Honestly, they're not really my thing. They kind of wear thin on me. It might be because of the nature of the medley in general, which I'm not really a big fan of. I enjoy hearing a full song. Even when I go to see a concert, I can't stand it when they cram a bunch of songs into a 4 or 5 minute medley just to cover extra ground. For some reason, the crowd goes wild and eats it up. Not me. I'd rather they just put their energies into picking one of those songs and putting their heart and soul into it. Well, on every album, I think outside of the debut, which I think I mentioned before, Weird Al has included a polka medley. And honestly, they all just kind of blend together for me. But he did something different on Alapalooza, which I wish he would do more often. He did a full-on polka version of Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. But I just really appreciate that after 10 years of putting out albums, he finally went all in on a polka song and not just a medley. And I think he does a great job on this. And I hope that he continues to do these types of polka covers, because I think this is the best things he can do. So I'm not going to bother with the lyrics on this, because Bohemian Rhapsody is one of the all-time greatest and most popular songs of all time. And for us to quote it, everybody knows the lyrics to this song. So let's just get to the song.
Then why are we doing this on the podcast?
Because, Chloe, Bohemian Rhapsody is one of the most famous rock and roll songs of all time, and everybody here listening to this knows Bohemian Rhapsody.
And I don't.
Okay, you know what? Then, you know, we're going to play Bohemian Rhapsody for you before we play the polka version. We're not going to play that for the audience, but we're going to play a little bit of Bohemian Rhapsody for Chloe first. Then she has some context for this polka version, because I think that's kind of necessary for Chloe to appreciate Bohemian polka. That probably would help her. So we're going to do that first. But for you, the audience, we're going to go straight into Bohemian polka. So if you haven't heard this, I think you're going to really, really have a lot of fun with this. So here we go.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality.
Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
Ooh. Magnifico!
So you got to listen to Bohemian Rhapsody first, and then you got to hear Bohemian Polka. So you got to have some context to the song. Well, you know, I'm going to ask you first, what did you think of Bohemian Rhapsody?
I thought it was good. It was weird and crazy.
All right.
But I gave, it's weird, Bohemian.
It's hard to say, huh?
Bohemian. Am I saying it right? Bohemian.
Bohemian.
Bohemian. Bohemian Rhapsody. I thought it was good. And
now that's the original one, the one by Queen from the 70s.
Yes.
Yeah. So you liked it, though?
Yeah, it was weird.
It was weird. Yeah, it's kind of a weird song. It's unusual.
But the song from Weird Al Yankovic, what is it called?
Bohemian Polka.
Bohemian Polka. I gave that one a 6, and for Weird, I gave it a 10.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really fascinating and amazing what he does with that song, because the original Queen song is nearly 6 minutes long, and the Weird Al version is 3 minutes and like 40 something seconds. But he gets into that song, the entire Queen song. It's sped up, but he does not skip over any part of that song. It's every single lyric is in there. Every single part of that song is brought into a Bohemian Polka. It's really, really cool how he does that in almost half the time. A fantastic cover of that song. Might I add, maybe the greatest cover of that song.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it. So, you know, before I wrap up the show, you know, we're running pretty long here tonight. This is a long episode. I got to ask you, Chloe, you know, what did you think of Weird Al Yankovic in total? In all, what did you think?
I gave this band from 1 to 10, I gave it a 7.5.
So Weird Al gets a 7.5.
Yep.
In general, he gets a 7.5. All right, I guess that's respectable.
What? Are you being rude?
No, I mean, I guess it's okay. I don't know what your scale is. Like, is that good? Is that great?
It's good.
It's good. All right. What was your favorite? Not weirdness, but what was your favorite song?
My favorite song that we've listened to was probably, I'm gonna say One More Minute, because that one was funny and it was weird. So I think One More Minute was my favorite.
That was the Elvis Presley style song. Yeah.
But the weirdest song, probably the Bohemian Polka.
Bohemian Polka? That was the weirdest one?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I think my favorite still might be Dog Eat Dog. I just think that musically, stylistically, it is just a great song all around. So that might be my favorite.
What do you think was the weirdest?
They're all weird. Weirdest song?
I'm going to say Bohemian Polka.
I don't know if I can grade it on weirdness. I just think, you know, he's got, I think I'm going to grade it on how absurd his lyrics are. And I would say possibly One More Minute.
That was my favorite too. That one is,
it's the most maybe self-deprecating and absurd.
It's really absurd.
Yeah, so maybe I might just go with that one. But anyways, but we're going to wrap up the show because we've gone really long. So that's really it.
More than an hour.
I know, it's been a long one. That's my top 10 underrated and underappreciated songs from Weird Al Yankovic, covering the first half of his career. And you know, I will get around to the second half at some point.
Maybe in the next season.
Maybe. Couple more episodes to go before the big season one wrap-up. Coming up on the letter Z, which will feature a musician that I'm really looking forward to talking about. Chloe, you'll be back with me for that season one wrap-up, and I'm happy you'll be joining me. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back for another episode with Emptying the Vault for the letter Y coming up soon.
Thank you, Dad, for letting me have this opportunity. This is going to be my last episode of...
Was that your last?
It's the last of the season, and like you said, you may take a little break.
We got the season one wrap-up. We got a double episode that we're going to be doing together.
Yeah, which is going to be fun also, but... I think my favorite part is, of course, going to be just doing these episodes. I have had such a fun time doing these episodes. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave my emotions to the wrap-up, so bye.
All right. we got the letter Y, Emptying the Vault episode coming up next, and I already have some great music lined up for that show. So please download or subscribe right now so you don't miss it. You can send your feed.
Subscribe! You can leave a like on this episode.
You can send your feedback or hate mail to abcofrockpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for taking this journey with me, with both of us, this week. And please don't hesitate to reach out
both
to me on social media, on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast, on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. And like I said before, I love getting feedback and messages letting me know what you think of the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here as your host and entertainer.
And co-host.
over the past hour now, and I realize there are literally tens of thousands of podcasts out there you could be listening to, and we both sincerely thank you for spending your time with us on this show. It means the world to us. The ABCs of
it does.
The ABCs of Rock is part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. Thank you again, and have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.